This the remix.
Now, back to the Press Box on ESPN Las Vegas.
Do we have Tyler?
Are we back?
We're back.
Okay. Cassie, are you there?
Here.
Oh, there she is.
Hi. It's Cassie Soto. Hi. We apparently only have 5 minutes with Cassie.
Oh, busy, busy lady, busy gal. Got a lot to do, a lot of meetings to go to.
Fun Friday.
Oh, yeah, fun Friday.
I feel like, and I feel like Cassie works too much. I feel like she left sports and was like, oh, I'm going to work a little bit less, and now she works more.
Do we want to give her that credit?
Jokes on me. No, jokes totally on me. The 20-hour days, still insane. I thought I was over them.
Yeah, look at you, poor Cassie. And you don't even get to talk to Mac Hollins anymore, so it's a real miss on your part.
It's a lose-lose.
So I told both of you that I was going, that I'm in La Puente, California, and apparently neither one of you have ever heard of the place. But Ed, when I told Cassie I was here, she sent me a picture of a place called the Donut Hole, which is in La Puente, California, and it is a drive-through donut place, but the building, you drive through a giant donut, like you drive through the middle of this.
Nice.
So I have to go find the Donut Hole here in La Puente at some point.
Yes.
Yeah, it was the first thing that popped up when I Googled it, because I was like, where is he exactly in the world? And I went, of course, to Google Images to see what the city looked like. And the first picture, and mind you, was it, would you say it was from maybe the 50s? A 1950s black and white photo of this donut.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Ed, you weren't even alive when this place was built.
No,
surprisingly so.
Speaking of being alive, Cassie, do you know it's someone's birthday this weekend?
Maybe a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours.
Yeah. There it is. I think it's on Sunday. Yeah. Jess was telling me Sunday.
I think so.
Happy early birthday.
23rd or 24th?
Okay, hold on, hold on. Cassie, I think, is doing a completely different person, by the way.
Really?
You I think you guys are talking about two completely different people.
Because Adam, you guys are birthday twins.
Yes, Adam Hill's birthday is the day after mine. So Cassie is 100% thinking about
Adam. Oh, come on. I was talking Tyler. I was talking about Tyler.
I wasn't, but was I wrong? It's a mutual friend of ours.
Yes, that's true, but you weren't talking about Tyler. Now we know. You're
talking
about Adam.
Talking about Tyler?
Oh, man. I was talking about Tyler.
He texted me yesterday that he was there for his whole birthday. Oh,
yeah,
totally
missed it, too. It's pretty great. Are you going to watch Mexico play? They play in Vegas on Sunday.
They do, yeah. Well, once you get me those tickets, I totally will.
I told you, I don't have them.
I need the tickets. Somebody.
Ed's
got to
go. Ed's got to go schmooze up and find some tickets for you. You got to rely on him.
Schmooze away,
today.
Ed.
Oh yeah, I'm a schmoozer.
Here's the Irish accent.
Yeah, that's what they. Oh, I could roll out the Irish accent. I don't know if that would get me Mexico tickets, but I could roll out the Irish brogue. Yeah, you're right.
No, that'll definitely be once we're down there. We'll go. We'll make our way there. And may I say, I've never been more. I would say. Mexico soccer games are where I have the most fun, beverage-wise. I don't know if I can say the full sentence, but yeah, that is where I thrive.
Yeah, I mean, usually you watch them lose to the U.S., so that's really your only option to have fun.
Yeah, exactly. So I have to drink all my beverages, so I'm very excited for this weekend to, let loose a little bit.
By the way, the U.S. and Mexico could play in the quarterfinals of the Gold Cup.
Oh boy!
If one of us screws around and finishes second in our group, it's a quarterfinal matchup in the Gold Cup instead of being in the final. So Mexico is going to get knocked out by some crappy U.S. team in the quarterfinals, and it'll be great.
And that's what I told my husband. I was like, "Listen, I think we should go because this is our World Cup team, right?" And he was like, "Yeah," and he was very very happy about it. So he'll be I'll go. I don't know that he'll go, but I'll be there.
So Mexico's playing its A side?
They are.
Yeah, pretty much. I think they're missing one or two players, but it's basically this is their best team, and we're out here running around MLS guys that aren't any good and can barely beat Saudi Arabia. So it's going to be even funnier when we beat Mexico in this tournament, and it's going to be great. All right, Cassie, go work or whatever it is.
Get to those meetings you say you have.
And enjoy Adam Hill's birthday.
You drive through a giant donut.
Yeah, I'll send them to Adam Hill, not you, though.
Okay, great. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Adam.
Thanks, Cassie. So There is Cassie Soto, a few minutes of Cassie Soto, which is probably 2 minutes, too many minutes already. But
so I want to go back. I should know this about Adam Hill.
You should. I mean, you'll an email on Monday that it's his birthday.
Yes, exactly. I think Jess got the email because your birthday's over the weekend, so she got the she got the email. If I can get into my email, I'll be seeing that.
Oh, you can get in. Come on, you've been killing it on getting into your email.
I did this. I did the security test.
Look at you.
Yes.
I'm proud of you, Ed.
I'm proud. Yeah, I'm proud of my two.
Okay. I want to go back to the NBA Finals. We had a game six last night, and the Pacers absolutely annihilated Oklahoma City. We're part of this conversation because we're the media as well, but I wanted to ask you. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he did score 21 points yesterday, shot 7 of 15, but he had 8 turnovers in that game. And a big reason why they lost is the turnovers that Indiana, they won that battle. Is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going to get the same conversation that we've had about Tyrese Haliburton and him not being good enough in every single game, or is that not going to happen for SGA after a terrible game six?
I don't think it happens because he's the MVP and people give him more of a benefit of the doubt. I don't think it happens. I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. He wasn't good. 8 turnovers. Like you said, you just gave his stats. He wasn't good at all. But if you're asking me that if he gets blamed like Haliburton gets blamed, I don't think it happens.
What if he does it again?
Well, now that's a completely different story. If they lose game 7 on their home floor, I think a lot of those guys are going to get blamed. Up 3-2 in the series, and they go home. They haven't lost 2 straight in the playoffs all playoff run. They're going to get a lot of blame. Let me ask you this, because I heard this morning, this was a good point in terms of how fans will react to this on either team. And the point being made was the Oklahoma City fans will be just outrageously mad and angry because they're up 3-2. They're the best team all year, and they blew it. Where the Pacer fans are going to say, hey, what a great run. Thanks for all those great games, and you made us happy, and you know we got as close as we've ever been. And you know, I mean, does it work out that way? I mean, it seems like it would.
It's one of my least favorite things in sports.
In terms of how fans react?
When we have a championship and one team, or I should say fans, I guess, one fan base gets to play the we're just happy to be here card.
Right.
Like, I hate it because I've told you this before. Part of what makes sports great, part of what makes the winning in sports great is how bad the losing is, how bad you feel when you lose and how devastating it is. If you're still happy after you lose the NBA Finals in Game 7, well, the win couldn't be that good then because you were happy with the loss. Like, I get it. Listen, this is the furthest. Indiana's never been this far. They've never played a game where they could win the NBA Finals. So I get the idea. And it's not that Indiana fans have to be like, oh, I'm disgusted with the team and this was terrible. Like, it was a great season.
But
no
there should
what.
Be a serious level of disappointment.
Right. If you lose in the championship round or game, especially if it's a game 7 scenario, like, I hate when there's just good job, good effort, guys. We're all proud of you. I think there should be mourning. You should be mourning after losing a championship. So I hate that when that happens in sports. But it is probably what's going to happen, is that you're going to have a good chunk of the Indiana side being, hey, good job, guys. We're happy about this. It still was a lot of fun. Situation, and I hate that. Like, if Indiana loses in game 7, they should be devastated because they were
that
one
close.
Win away from winning the championship. They were up 2-1 and had a home game and blew it in game 4. So yeah, that'll be kind of disappointing to me if that's the storyline we get out of it, is just good job Indiana, that was a good run.
Marcus Arroyo, no moral victories.
That's right, get your
moral victories
out of here.
No moral victories.
I don't want them. Do you think Oklahoma City loses 2 straight? They haven't lost 2 straight in the playoffs yet. They did in the regular season a couple of times. Do they lose 2 straight
now? I don't think either of us go against our pick. I don't think I go against OKC. I don't think you go against Indiana.
I think I should go against Indiana.
I don't think you will. I think you'll stay with your pick.
I will. Here's the thing. Regardless of like how much better Oklahoma City is than Indiana as a team, and technically through the series, we haven't really seen that. The series is obviously tied, and the total points, I think OKC's outscored them by like 6 or 7 or something. So it's not like we've seen over 6 games that Oklahoma City is this much better team. But they are the better team. They're going to be favored in Game 7 pretty significantly, and most people are going to expect them to win the NBA Finals on Sunday. But the two things that stick out to me for a Game 7... is the turnover battle and the three-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And the turnover battle has been pretty even going back and forth in this series, where we've seen some bad turnover games from both teams, and we've also seen some really light turnover games from both teams. So I don't know if there's a good way to predict that. OKC's been better at it in the entire course of the season, but Indiana's been very good at winning that battle in the playoffs. So that's obviously one area. If one of these teams has a huge advantage there, they're probably going to win the title because of it. And then the second one is three-point shooting. Because if you just take the last three games, OKC made three threes in game five, in game four, still won the game. Game five, they shot 44% from three. Right. And then last night, they were 3 of 20 before the fourth quarter started, when they pulled all the starters. We have now seen terrible, great, terrible three-point shooting from Oklahoma City. Indiana's been pretty consistent, where they're hitting like 30. It seems like they're hitting 38% of their threes, and they're hitting like 15 threes in every game. It's been pretty consistent this entire time. This might simply come down to, does OKC have a good shooting night or a bad shooting night? And if they shoot 3 of 20 again, they're probably not winning the championship. So those are the two big things that I'm kind of looking at so far that we've seen in this series that I think decides it. What does OKC's shooting looks like, and who wins the turnover battle? Because those are the key aspects between these two teams.
I'll be intrigued to, and want to get your thoughts here on how the game is called. It's a game seven. We talked yesterday in length about the NHL refs and, you know, just letting things go and not calling much of anything in Stanley Cup final games. But this is a game seven. Be interesting to see what kind of whistle each team's get in terms of if they can keep it close.
Indiana has been the team that's fouled the most in the postseason. Now, they played Giannis and Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson and now Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They've played four guys that draw a lot of fouls against everybody, but Indiana as a defense has fouled quite a bit. Last night, Ed, watching the game, I was like, oh, Indiana's doing a good job not fouling.
Mm-hmm.
OKC still took more free throws than Indiana in the game. So OKC's going to go to the free throw line. I think the question will really be, like, take Jalen Williams, for example. I think the regular season, he averaged like 3 or 4 free throw attempts per game. In this series, he's averaging like 8.5. Like, Jalen Williams is going to the free throw line double what he did in the regular season. Last night, it was 5. Granted, he didn't play the fourth quarter, so he probably would have gotten to 8 again had he done that. But that might be the key there. Like, they're going to foul. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to get free throws. Does he shoot 7 or does he shoot 14? Does Jalen Williams shoot 4 or does he shoot 9? I think those are the two main players to watch and how Indiana guards them. And then to your question, how do they call it? Do they let them get away with a little bit or not? Because that's been a talking point this entire time, is how much OKC is allowed to get away with things and all of that. So that is an interesting thing. And Indiana is a team that fouls. They're going to put that team on the line. But just how significant is that advantage for OKC in this game? And by the way, I've got to give you, this might be the last time we do it. We'll see what happens in Game 7. But we had one challenge last night. Rick Carlisle challenged with 4:16 left in the second.
The foul.
They called a shooting foul. Isaiah Hartenstein was going to go to the free throw line. They reviewed it, and Hartenstein wasn't touched at all. Indiana won the challenge. Rick Carlisle won a challenge, and I'm still here to tell you it was a bad challenge.
Because of when it happened?
Second quarter, you're saving a foul. I think it was called on Tony Bradley, like your end of the bench guy who gave you like 6 good minutes last night. You're saving a foul on Tony Bradley. It's the second quarter. If they lose that challenge, if there was like a little hand on the hip that threw him off,
right,
Indiana doesn't have a challenge for the rest of the game because they tried to save a foul on Tony Bradley, of all people. That's a bad challenge. And by the way, even as I've said, even if you win it, you only get one more no matter what. Like, you cannot get more than 2 challenges in a game. So even if you win it, you're now said we got 1 challenge no matter what the rest of the game. They blew him out. It didn't matter. But even though they won it, I still think that was a bad challenge by Rick Carlisle.
Yeah, they came up. What was it? If it was a foul at all, it was because he came up underneath him a little. It wasn't a foul, but that was, they made the right call. But you're right in terms of when he challenged. It doesn't make sense to challenge then and take and just because it's 2 free throws.
Yeah, the value of that play is not significant enough to winning the game. It should be saved for later in the game when you might win an out-of-bounds call or win that type of call in the fourth quarter, the final minutes of the fourth quarter. Yeah. So bad challenge by Carlisle, even though he won it. And, oh, I lied. I have one more thing on this. James Johnson getting ejected last night's one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. When he kind of came at him. In the beginning, I don't know if he was trying to box him out or anything, but he kind of came at him in his chest to back him up. But I didn't know if it warranted ejection. Did it?
I did not think it was ejection worthy.
It was
either.
Funny the way he kind of went at him in terms of like straight on to begin with and then kind of just backed up.
It's funny because James Johnson is on the Pacers for one reason, and that is just to be a guy on the end of
to
the
enforce.
Bench. Like he never plays, so I don't know how he does any enforcing. But it's they don't play him. He's like Rick Carlisle plays his entire bench except this guy, and he's just there on the bench to be scary, like just to try to like, hey, if you try to fight one of our players, I will run off the bench and try to end you,
right?
Because
right.
I don't care if I get suspended for 40 games by the NBA because I don't play. That's why he exists. That's it. And he got into an NBA Finals game for the first time and gets ejected. Like that is peak James Johnson of any player to just play. Yep, I played for 2 minutes and got ejected. It's like him and like late career Udonis Haslam. Those are the two guys you'd be like, yeah, play him for 2 minutes and he's getting thrown.
He's
out of
getting
the game.
Thrown out of the game.
All right, coming up next year on ESPN Las Vegas, it's Bischoff's Briefs, where I will tell you about the greatest soccer team in the world.
It's Bischoff's Briefs, brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Stuffing should be stuffed inside the turkey, am I correct?
It can also be baked in a casserole dish.
Well, then we'd have to call it something else, wouldn't we?
Bischoff's Briefs.
Expectations for us are low as a rattlesnake's belly button, huh? But hey, you got 38 chances to prove all them folks wrong, right?
Bischoff's Briefs.
And my hopes are as high as a giraffe's top hat.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Ed, I've got a couple of soccer things for you. First, I'm going to tell you that the greatest soccer team in the world is back, and then I'm going to give you an update on your favorite manager, Jesse Marsh. But first, the U.S. beat Saudi Arabia yesterday 1-0. Chris Richards scored the game winner off a free kick. I don't feel like I've told you this. Are you aware Greg Berhalter's son is playing for the U.S. in this tournament?
No, I am now. Sebastian?
The manager who got fired and that the fan base just completely hated for absolutely no reason, his son Sebastian is playing for the U.S. He's playing. He's on the team. He actually had the assist on the free kick last night for the Chris Richards goal, which I find to be funny that Berhalter's son is playing for us, which means there's a Berhalter for U.S. soccer.
Is he any good?
No.
Okay.
I mean, he's apparently very good at free kicks, and okay. He gave us an assist. His free kick last night was phenomenal. But overall, as a player, I hope he's not on the World Cup roster because hopefully we can do better than that, even on the bench. But with the win last night, the U.S. is qualified for the quarterfinals of the Gold Cup. We will play either Mexico or Costa Rica in the quarters. That'll be decided on Sunday. We play on Sunday. Mexico and Costa Rica play against each other on Sunday. One important thing from that game, Chris Richards scored the goal last night. He was also our best defensive player in that game. Our center backs are actually the center backs we might have in the World Cup. That's actually the position where we have guys that'll probably be the World Cup starters. Chris Richards and Tim Ream right now would probably be the starters. We'll see if that holds true a year from now. But Chris Richards is 25. He plays for Crystal Palace in the Premier League. He finally started getting regular minutes this season. There were a couple of years where it was like, oh, he's not playing a whole lot. He was great last night. I really hope he's taking this sort of step as a really good center back because that would answer a position that's a big question mark for us. Are we going to have good center backs? Hopefully Chris Richards is one. He was good last night. It was Saudi Arabia, but he was good last night and he was good for Crystal Palace in the second half of the season. So hopefully he's good. I'm very optimistic about that. The other key takeaway from this game, we played Saudi Arabia. We didn't give up a goal. We only allowed one shot on goal. Defensively, we were good. We only had three shots on goal ourselves. Our offensive attack was pretty pathetic in this game. And I think it comes down to the same problem that this roster's had before, We're relying on guys that aren't very good. Pochettino likes to play his left back up as a winger, basically. Max Arfston is our left back. I just don't think he's any good. Our starting striker is Patrick Agyeman. He is a big body. He uses his physicality pretty well to hold defenders off and sort of receive passes. But that's kind of the only thing he doesn't do. That's the only thing he does well. He doesn't really do anything else very well. His passing hasn't been very good. He hasn't finished very well. Like, I think our two main guys in attack just haven't been good. And I just think it's because they aren't that good. And we're probably going to get eliminated from the Gold Cup because we don't score a goal because we're relying so much on those two guys. We also didn't see enough Malik Tillman yesterday. Malik Tillman, he's probably our best attacking player on this roster. He'll be on the World Cup roster, probably coming off the bench. He didn't do a whole lot yesterday. I don't know if that was more his fault or maybe Saudi Arabia took him away or maybe we just weren't good enough at getting him involved. But yeah, our attack was not very good against a bad Saudi Arabia team.
Can I give you some trivia? You said
Got trivia for me.
Yeah,
okay.
You said that Chris Richard plays for Crystal Palace?
Yes.
Okay. When I was in London, the game I watched was Crystal Palace against West Ham.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's just trivia. That's just it means nothing.
Do you remember who won?
I believe there was a VAR. It was some kind of controversy thing. I was there with Kevin Bollinger. We were there for the Raiders. And I want to say Crystal Palace won.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
There's some trivia for you. Yeah. It was cool. It was a great experience. It was awesome.
I'm glad you remember who played, even though you can't remember who won the game.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, we were out there. Heidi Fang was with me. We were actually asking locals about, like, you know, do you know who Tom Brady is? Do you know who these people? We did some football stuff, but watched most of the game. Kevin Bollinger and Robbie were there. And yeah, it was cool. It was a great atmosphere. It was awesome.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good. It looks like this was in 2019 in October. Crystal Palace won 2-1 with an 87th minute goal.
There you go. All right. So, Crystal Palace won.
Yeah. All right. Here's your update on your favorite manager, Jesse Marsh, the Canadian manager who is an American and is mad at U.S. soccer because we didn't hire him. He got suspended for the first two games of the Gold Cup because he got a red card and cussed out the refs during a Nations League game. So he's suspended for the first two games. CONCACAF is investigating Marsh because in the first game of the Gold Cup, when he was suspended, we don't know exactly what he did, but they said they're looking into if he disregarded the rules for suspended coaches and also said that he cussed at officials again. But The Athletic had a story yesterday, and based on sources they talked to, it's believed that Jesse Marsh was directed by a CONCACAF official to a suite in the stadium ahead of Canada's match where he was allowed to watch the game. Jesse Marsh was then approached by a CONCACAF official later in the match and told he was not in the correct place and had to leave the suite. Marsh, likely frustrated at what he believed to be mixed messaging, then used language CONCACAF deemed offensive. So did CONCACAF create this entire problem? Told him to go to one place, then told him it was wrong?
My poor guy, Jesse. Are you serious?
Your poor guy.
My poor guy? Telling him to go one place and then coming afterwards and saying you shouldn't be here? That's on you, man, CONCACAF. That's on you. That's not on him. If I'm him and they're telling me where to go, and I've been suspended and they're telling me where to go, I go exactly where they say. Jesse's only following the rules.
Is he? So,
yes.
First off, can Jesse Marsh stop cussing at every official that he sees?
He's got an issue there. he's got an issue with the language. There's obviously an issue there.
Because I'm guessing if he would stop cussing at everybody he sees from CONCACAF, they might not be investigating him a second time around. I also am curious, like, this is according to sources, so we'll see if we actually get an official story at any point. Like, he was told to sit in a suite. I'm not 100% clear on how they worded this. Was he still sitting where they told him, or did he go sit somewhere else and they came back and said, hey, you can't sit there?
Jesse's pretty aggressive. So if you tell me he got up and wanted a better view of things and moved, then I guess I'd believe you.
They put him in the fourth row of the suite, and he was like, why am I sitting so far
right,
back
exactly.
here?
I'm going so up to the first row. Moved up to the first row and kicked somebody out. I'm the coach.
So that's the little bit of details we have on the Jesse Marsh situation. I don't know if we'll get more, but maybe we'll find out if he's suspended for more than two games because he can't stop cussing at every single CONCACAF official he sees. I have to imagine, even if they hadn't told him to move, he probably would have started cussing at them anyways just because that's his default now.
Probably cussing at fans and people bringing him the soda and pizza. He's got a problem.
So, There's Jesse Marsh. We'll see how many games he actually gets to manage. All right, coming up next year on ESPN Las Vegas, Ken Bulkey joins the show.
This has been Bischoff's Briefs, brought to you by Paul Pata Law. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
5 seconds, centered off the stick, and the slot. Smith gets around the goalie. They scored! No, it's waved off. They wave it off. The referee waved his arms, saying no. The Golden Knights think they've won.
They won.
0.4, the puck completely crossed the line. Goal.
Follow the guys on Twitter, at Ed Graney and at Bischoff underscore Tyler.
Joining us now from sinbin.vegas, it's Ken Bulkey. Good morning, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hello.
How come the Golden Knights couldn't score on Stuart Skinner, but the Panthers had no problem doing that?
Well, they scored on that highlight you just played.
Well, Leon Draisaitl scored. Let's be clear. That was Draisaitl scoring.
It's not how the official scoring says. They give that one to Riley.
Wrong.
That was a great play. That was a great play by William Karlsson. We can't get off the fact that that play made by William Karlsson was fantastic. But, yeah, scoring on Stuart Skinner was very, very, very difficult, it seems, until you're actually a team that knows how to score.
Are they going to trade William Karlsson? They've got three guys that make over $5 million that don't have a full no trade or no move, and it's Karlsson, Barbashev, and Hurdle. Should Karlsson get traded? Should any of those guys get traded this offseason to facilitate something bigger?
If you're going to trade one of them, it should definitely not be William Karlsson. Like, if you're anybody on the roster, it should not be William Karlsson. You're one of those valuable players based on the contract on the roster. And I understand that he didn't have a ton of goals and points really this year, but partially that's because the rest of the roster was not all that good around him. He was the guy that was basically playing with the AHL wingers that they had to throw out there when they did. He played on more lines than anyone else. He played in bad situations. And then the playoffs come around. He's the savior that comes up and saves Mark Stone and Jack Eichel in round one. They couldn't stop the Minnesota top line, which isn't even that good. He's the one who comes in and stops them. He's the one who gets the tough assignment against McDavid. Like, to me, it would make absolutely no sense to trade William Karlsson. Ivan Barbashev, okay, now we can talk. But I don't think they're going to actually need the money. I really don't think they're going to need the money, even if they want to go after Marner, because the talk is it doesn't seem like Alex Pietrangelo is going to play. And right there's all the money you need.
So what is that with Pietrangelo? Because we've heard that. We've heard, oh, he's not going to be on the Olympic roster, not ready. Like, what's going on with Alex Pietrangelo?
So I don't know the exact injury. I don't know exactly what it is. But from what I understand, there's some sort of surgery that's likely needed for him to continue playing. And it's a surgery that would be an extended period of time, like literally maybe the entire season, if not longer. And I think they're still mulling over whether or not that's even going to happen, which is essentially making a decision on his career. This is what I understand on it. I don't know the exact injury. From what I would guess, this is a complete guess. I would guess it's like the hip resurfacing thing that a lot of the guys have had recently. Patrick Kane went through it. A couple other guys have gone through it. And it basically, it's like well over a year, and then they don't know what it looks like when you come back. It was okay for Kane. Other guys, it hasn't been. So I think it's pretty clear that they're not expecting him to play.
If that happens and he doesn't play, is this a big splash move? Do you expect a big splash move like they've made in the past, or do you think they think they're okay somewhere else or other places that you don't expect that?
No, they're it's the same front office they've had since the beginning. They're going to go nuts. They have whatever it is. What would it be, like $18 million worth of money? They're going to go nuts. I don't know who that'll be. I think the plan would probably be Mitch Marner. And the hope would be that he picks Vegas, and there you go. Now you've filled in. It's essentially a one-for-one trade of Alex Pietrangelo for Mitch Marner, and I would imagine most teams would do that. I don't know it fits necessarily with what they need and how this roster is going to move forward. I'm not sure it's a perfect trade for what this team would be looking for, but if you just presented that trade to basically anyone, they would probably take it. The problem is, if Mitch Marner decides, I don't want to go to Vegas or someone else will pay me more, then there's not a ton of other options out there. Like, Nick Ehlers is an okay option. They probably have to go down the trade route. which they don't have a lot of great assets to trade. So it gets a little tricky if it's not Mitch Marner. Or do they just kind of push it off to next season and figure out, do we go bigger next season? Like, I guess that's potentially an option too, because the McDavid guy is apparently hasn't made it clear that he wants to return to Edmonton yet.
Would they trade William Karlsson if it means they can get Connor McDavid?
Well, yes. If they can get Connor McDavid, you should do. I had a DM this morning asking me if they would swap out Eichel for McDavid right now, and then the suggestion in the DM was like, "Nah, I don't think they would do that." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure they would do that."
So, if Petrangelo doesn't play, or even if his career is done, the defensive group, you've got Theodore and Hanifin. McNabb will be 35. Is it a good defensive group if there's no Alex Petrangelo next year?
It's all right. It's certainly not what it had been. It's certainly not going into the season like I think last year most people were saying it's the deepest defensive core in the league. It's definitely not that without Alex Petrangelo at the top of it. And if you look at playoff numbers, like, he played a significant amount in the playoffs, especially towards the end of that second series against Edmonton. Like, he did not have the best year, and he clearly was fighting something most of the season, but he made a huge impact in what they did, and he played almost all of the most important defensive minutes. You're going to have to fill somebody else in. I would assume it's Korzak. You're definitely taking a step back there, and I think the biggest question then becomes, like, can Theodore and Hanifin take on that top pair defense responsibility, one or the other, if not both, you know, separately? Like, that's a lot to ask. Like, Alex Petrangelo was, I don't think they win the Stanley Cup. I'm not even sure they get out of the second round the year they won the Stanley Cup without Alex Petrangelo. Like, he was a massive, massive part of what they did. And without him, I think it hurts a lot. Like, they're going to do something to make themselves better, and we're going to feel a little bit differently about it if that's what ends up happening. But if he's not able to play, it's a big loss.
What do you do? What's going to happen with Hague?
I mean, I don't see a reason for him to not stick around. Like, if you look at the numbers, there's not a lot there. Like, I think he only had 20 points or something and, like, 5 goals. Like, he's more valuable than the points that he puts up. But when you come down to arbitration and RFA status, like, a lot of that's going to come down to the numbers. And I just don't think the numbers are there for him to get anything beyond, like, let's go crazy and say maybe he gets $3.5 million. Like, there's really no reason for the Golden Knights not to do that. If somebody wants to swoop in and say, we'll give you a first round pick for him, okay, then fine. Then they've got Hague, or they've got Korzak, they've got Hutton. All right, no big deal. But if nobody's willing to make something happen that way, like, I don't really see a reason why he wouldn't stick around. I think he goes to arbitration, or at least does the arbitration filing, and then signs for probably 3 or 4 years so he can get another UFA deal down the road, and would hope that maybe his offensive numbers go up from there. I don't see him as a top four defense pair guy. Like, he's played in that role before. I don't see him as that, and I don't think arbitration would see him as that either. So I don't think he's going to get, like, the "we expect a lot more out of you" deal that actually kind of got last time.
Among players that you've covered with the Golden Knights, where does Nate Schmidt rank on guy you're happiest to see win something?
It's pretty darn high. Might be one. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, because he hadn't had anything at that point. Yeah, it's definitely pretty high. He's just, like, if you've seen any of his interviews, like, that's him all the time. Like, I don't understand how it's even possible that you can be that happy and that, like, laughy. I don't know what the term is there. Like, he's a goof. The guy is great, and every single person who's been around him loves the guy. Yeah, it's great to see him win.
It's happened before, but is this Florida team a dynasty? I mean, if they, depending on who they can keep, I mean, how many more can they win? How good are they?
I saw a great tweet. It was like a meme of something from Pirates of the Caribbean where it said, my favorite team lost a final, then won 2 in a row, and I got to brag about it for 3 years until the biggest rival did the exact same thing. Like, it's crazy that Tampa lost a final, then won 2 in a row, or maybe they did it backwards, and then Florida did the exact same thing. Like, I don't see how winning 2 in a row and going to the other one's not a dynasty, but the fact that it's happened, like, how many dynasties do we get in the NHL? Because, like, Pittsburgh had one, Chicago had one, LA had one. Now we have Tampa and Florida. Like, that's a lot in 20 years. Like, I don't know.
All right, last one for you. This time next year, are we talking about Mauricio Pochettino being the greatest manager the U.S. has ever had, or how did they not fire him before the World Cup started?
Yeah, I mean, if you watch last night's game, like, it's hard to think he's not one of the best managers of all time. I mean, that was an absolute masterclass against Saudi Arabia there. Like, wow, wow. I honestly, though, like, he never has anything close to the whole team. Like, Virginia Jets hasn't been played for him yet. Like, I don't know. He's probably going to get fired right after the World Cup because our expectations are ridiculous. Like, if we don't win two knockouts, we've never won two knockout stage games. Like, why do we expect that to happen? The games are at home. Okay, great. Every other team's going to have more fans than us in pretty much every game because that's how it goes. Like, I don't know. He's fine. He's going to be good, but we're not doing anything, sadly.
How do you feel about Max Arfstrom?
Ay, ay, ay. Unbelievable.
He's a good player.
He's so bad.
Just let him pass it every time, and it'll work out well eventually. If we get 100 crosses from Max Arfstrom, we'll score on one of them.
No, we won't. There was one shot of him, like, it was like early second half, where he just kicked the ball out of bounds, and he just threw his head back. Like, I am bad at this. Like, I know that feeling so well. I saw it because I hit it every single time I play golf. I have the exact same feeling. And I saw it. I'm like, oh, that's me. I'm the 13th hole. Is that 13? Maybe like the third hole.
All right, Ken. There's one extra knockout round. So we should win two knockout rounds this year because that'll be as far as we've ever gotten the same way. We just win another extra knockout round. We're going to win the whole thing.
So we finished second in the group, which I don't know why we should not finish second in the group, but that's probably what's going to happen because that's what happens to us. We always finish second in the group, and then we get like a halfway decent second place team in a round of six or round of 32, and then we're playing some superstar team. And we're in Argentina. All right, great. The game's in San Francisco. We're definitely going to win. I actually went to a game in San Francisco against Colombia, and I was the only American in the building.
Yeah, that's we'll perform with our backs against the wall and beat Argentina. Messi will be old by then. It's fine. It's not like he's scoring free kicks in a different tournament that's going on. We'll take care of Messi. Not a problem.
Looked old yesterday.
Yeah, get out of here, Ken. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
There's Ken Bulkey, sendbin.vegas on the Golden Knights. Before we give away some tickets and the word of the day, so should we start talking about the Golden Knights as if Alex Petrangelo is not playing for them next year?
Well, you had the report. You had what Ken said. I don't think these are being made up. I think there's something to this. I mean, I think it's until it's made official or until they say something, I don't think it's wrong to talk about. I mean, these are legitimate people saying this stuff and reporting it. So, yeah, I mean, look, there's something there. I don't think this just leaks out that, oh, all of a sudden we're just going to pick Alex Petrangelo out of the air and say he has something that might cost him the season. So, yeah. And he's had stuff in the past, too. This isn't someone who's, you know, been always completely healthy. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to talk about and then to talk about if he missed, what would that mean to the team?
Yeah. The way Elliot Friedman reported it, where they weren't sure if he's going to be ready for the start of the season, and Canada wasn't sure if he was going to be available for the Olympics, which is halfway into the season. That makes what Ken kind of brought up as, hey, does he have to have a surgery that could end his career type scenario? That would make sense. Hey, he's deciding if he's going to have a surgery that knocks him out for an entire year, and he might not even have it because he might just decide to retire instead, yeah, because players might value their bodies more than playing the last couple of years of their career. So, yeah, that's a fascinating thing that I'll be curious. Like, Kelly, we're going to have the draft and then free agency here very soon. So I'll see. I'm curious what Kelly McCrimmon has to say about Petrangelo at least one of those events, because that's a pretty big storyline for the Golden Knights.
And I was there. I'm remembering this correctly. McCrimmon say no surgeries?
I believe so. I'd have to go back and find the exact quotes, but I'm pretty sure they said that there was no player that was going to need surgery after the playoffs ended. So maybe it's something that's more what's the word, chronic with Petrangelo. Right. That's like, oh yeah, this is an issue, and now I'm considering doing this. So I don't know. We'll see. But it certainly seems like a pretty big roster situation for the Golden Knights with Pietrangelo. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to give you the word of the day one more time. It's the trip to Venice. This is the last day to get entered to win, so stay tuned. We'll give you that word of the day. If you want to take a five-day trip to Venice, you'll have a chance. But we've got some tickets to give away first. Steel Panther is coming to Vegas. They'll be at the House of Blues on August 16th and 22nd. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster, but we've got a pair for you to win right now for their show on August 16th. If you want to go see Steel Panther, call in now at 702-364-1100. That's 702-364-1100. We'll take caller number 5 at 702-364-1100. You'll win two tickets to go see Steel Panther.
You're listening to the Press Box on 100.9 FM and 1100 AM.
We're giving away a trip to Venice. If you want to go to Venice, you just have to text us the word of the day. The word today is water, W-A-T-E-R, and you can text that to 702-364-1100, and you'll be entered to win. It's the summer of fun here at Lotus Broadcasting, brought to you by Paul Pata Law. We're giving away a trip to Venice. There's 8 trips in total. You can get entered to win all of them 5 times a week, all by texting us the code word, which changes every day. This is the last day for the trip to Venice. So make sure you text water to 702-364-1100 and you will be entered to win. Ed, I did some more research for you, by the way. The game you went to, you were right. You shouldn't have questioned yourself. Crystal Palace beat West Ham and they scored. It was ruled offside. They had to go review it and it was onside. So the game winning goal was decided by VAR review.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. There you go.
So you should have trusted yourself. You said it all. You weren't very confident in your answer, but you nailed it.
I wasn't.
You nailed it.
You asked about suspensions, Buster-only, presumably Major League Baseball discipline coming down, Padres and Dodgers, in the form of suspensions and fines.
Okay.
So Dave Roberts might be, no wonder Danny's team's going to come in and sweep the Dodgers. Dave Roberts will not be available to manage the Dodgers. They won yesterday. Yeah, that we forgot about that. Oh, man. There goes Danny's bet.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's too bad. I'd have to imagine they're going to suspend both Roberts and Mike Shildt, right? Like, they're not going to suspend just one of the managers.
No, because they kept hitting Ohtani also. So, I mean, you know, it's like you keep hitting both guys. You know, I think both managers could be suspended or should be. You shouldn't just take one out.
Last thing I want to tell you this week, Ed. Last night, I'm in lovely La Puente, California.
La Puente, yeah.
I went to a Buffalo Wild Wing so that I could watch the NBA Finals and the U.S. soccer game at the same time. First off, great job. Walked in there, asked for that. They got both of those put up within a couple of minutes. I was a little worried we weren't going to get both of those put up, but was good to go there. However, I don't think they knew there was an NBA Finals game on because they didn't have enough staff to actually seat everybody. There were enough seats, but not enough like servers. So there was just like a horde of people sort of waiting to get a table before they finally sat everybody like at the end of the first quarter. So like, I don't think they knew the NBA Finals were on last night.
You got to, if you're Buffalo Wild Wings, that's the whole point of people coming.
Right. But I got a seat and I got them to put US Saudi Arabia on. So I had a great night watching sports.
Happy birthday, buddy. Happy birthday.